Well, g'day everybody and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. This podcast is brought to you by Mazda. It's the complete package inside and out. Drive the brand new Mazda BT50 at your Mazda dealer. Today on the show, it's the 2-minute warnings going into the first week of finals. If you haven't subscribed to us, please hit that button and do us a favour and leave a review as well. And give us a rating, 5 stars, but you can make it up for yourself, but do 5 stars. All right, let's get stuck in. This is the Hardball Gets AFL show. My name's Nick Rinn, joined by Ryan Daniels and Xavier Ellis. Boys, what is happening?
I told you last week, Rhino, 2 weeks and it'll make a good haircut. Wow, wee, isn't that looking good, those feathers at the moment?
I'm amazed I've got any hair left after the last couple of days chasing Harley Bennell around the Gold Coast.
Yeah, what a joy.
My God.
Harley Bennell on the Gold Coast.
A bad recipe.
When did it all, he obviously went off the rails up there. It's just as obvious as tits on a bull. What was getting out? Like, because we're obviously over here and I haven't been really tuning into any of it, but like, what were you hearing?
Big week, Bender, like 7, 8, 9 days of good, solid, real hard drinking, probably a few other things. And it wasn't necessarily because that he was going to get cut.
Yeah.
I think there's some other stuff going on that I won't go into, but I think there's some personal stuff going on that he isn't handling too well as well. So, I think all in all, it's a bit of an unraveling, which is really sad. I mean, you know, we can say that these guys need to behave better and yada, 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 but there's a lot going on behind the scenes, I think, not just with his career, but personal life and all that. So, look, I think everybody's just hoping that he gets on a plane, gets back to Perth, gets the help he needs, because if he stays here, it's not going to end well.
Did they this morning on the news on what's the breakfast show called?
Sunrise.
The news was, and I thought I was listening to sport, it went with Crouch Stengel into Elijah Taylor into Harley Bennell, the first 3 stories. I was like, Jesus Christ, that's a bad start to the week for the
Bulls. Yeah, and when we talk about Melbourne, I kind of want to get into this a little bit more about what's happening with all that sort of stuff. But it's a bit concerning, I think, and I don't think it's necessarily an accident. But anyway, let's wait till Melbourne and we'll bring that sort of stuff up.
Well, I've got one early too, anyway, so we can. Cool. We can wax.
Well, we'll just pick whatever side. Like, we'll go around in a circle, pick whatever side.
Scatterbomb.
Scatterbomb approach to the 2 minutes this week.
Yep.
All right, so if we...
Should we give Rhino the first start?
Yeah, Rhino, you go first crack then. We'll just wait for Josh to tee up his clock here.
Sorry, guys. I'm $1.05, the siren's not set.
$1.05? Don't put that hate on me.
$1.05, the siren is
Josh,
not...
Josh, you started so well.
Oh, no,
he's like Michael Barlow.
There it is.
Out of the gates.
Oh, hey, we're on.
Hey, we're back. Okay, well, I'm going to go straight into what we were just talking about then. It's about Melbourne. I wanted to talk about Harley. And I want to talk not necessarily just about him, but we've seen plenty of screw-ups. We've seen Sydney stacking his kebab. We've seen Elijah Taylor. I'm not talking about the girlfriend stuff that was in court. I'm talking about the breach.
Yep.
We've seen Hogan now, who couldn't wait more than 24 hours to get the lady around. We've seen Crouch and Stengel. I think what's happening here is, and this is not an excuse by any stretch of the imagination, we're seeing the result of the hubs, the pressure that's on with these hubs and the isolation and the being around only these blokes for a certain period and still playing footy or not playing footy. And then you're getting out of the hub. These boys are losing control. And it's not all of them. We should make sure that this is a very small percentage of the players who are in these hubs. But I don't think this is a coincidence. I think we're starting to see the impact of a year spent in essentially in isolation And they're high profile, so they're going to get caught. Do you think it's that, or do you think this is all coincidence?
No, I'd say the conditions that are set upon the footballers aren't much different to the general society that's that we're dealing with at the moment. Yeah. You know, the Victorian standards are way, way worse than what these footballers have had, and they still can't stop cocking up. So I think it's a bit of a cock up. You know, and like my parents are in full lockdown. You don't see Dad doing lines and you know, running around with drugs on him and stuff. Like,
he's not out yet.
But like, I just think, honestly, it's just maybe they just got too big for their boots, to be completely fair, to completely honest with you.
Yeah.
Maybe it's more the cases. I mean, to be honest, and this is, I'm not profiling anyone here, but I'm not surprised by any of the people who have screwed up. Put it that way.
Well, I'm going to follow you the next 2 minutes because I've got something similar as well. So we can flow on from that, because
this probably deserves more time. It's, and that's good, because it's like, none of these guys are clean skins that we are amazed. Oh, David Mundy's rogue. Yeah. He's gone on a bender.
So who are we?
So I'm Adelaide right now, and I'm going to touch on the Crouch Dangle situation. Now, was their cab randomly pulled over or something? What happened? How did
was
they
it
get
a
caught?
Cab or a car? Yeah, there was some CCTV which was tracking them. And
it was CCTV in the CBD. That's a lot of
C's and letters.
Acronyms. So let's just go through the people that have cocked up at the moment. So you've got Hogan, Jack Watts, Crouch, Stengel times
Mate,
two.
What
Jack Watts ran, hit and run. He's going through court.
I missed that one.
He's in trouble. Think back as long as
you
can.
By the way, I think there's a bit more to that.
Yeah, 100% there has to be.
I reckon there's going to be more to that Watts story coming out soon.
But just keep thinking about the people that have cocked up over time. Is there ever a story where someone's done this and then gone on to be successful? Like won premierships. You know, we give everyone all these second and third opportunities, but have they ever repaid the favour and won?
What about Stevie J? What about
Stevie J's
only one?
Okay, but Stevie J, and that was, 12 years ago? Yeah, 13 years ago. But we keep giving these players second and third chances and go like, it's out of character. Yeah. But it might be out of character, but they've never once gone on to be successful. From like off the top of your head, think about those people and they've never, a redemption story aren't really that often.
Michael Johnson.
They're very rare.
Who's that?
Michael Johnson
got busted for the coke.
Didn't win a flag or anything. I mean, winning flags. Yeah, no, I mean winning flags. I mean the top end success. It doesn't happen very often. Yeah. Whereas I wonder now, like honestly, you just cut them. Goodbye. They're not winning your flags. History says they don't win your flags.
Well, that might be when list sizes come back and everything gets a bit tighter over this next stretch, because it's not going to get better. Like things aren't getting better immediately.
Like Harley Benell, you cop another 50 grand fine. But like, why? Like are we too lenient a little bit to this, like when you go back through the history and go, oh shit, maybe it's not worth our cash and time to keep these players on?
I reckon these recruiters and club listmen, they love the reclamation project. Can I get something out of Jesse Hogan? Can I get something out of Harley Bennell?
Keeping on the theme, I'll just chuck in with Fremantle for the next one. So Jesse Hogan, so it's that weird, I think Mark Duffield summed it up a few weeks ago. It's a weird situation where like he's not being shipped, but he's not off the table. Like, he's in this weird state of flux. Does this actually make it his breach going into lockdown for another few weeks
14 days,
and adding to his CV? Does this actually make it more likely that he's going to be at Fremantle next year? Because he's less attractive for a trade now.
What value does Jesse Hogan have at the moment? Like, it's not really. He was for years and years highly sought after. Now I can't see too many clubs jumping out of trees to get him. But also I think that maybe Fremantle potentially don't want to go, we've invested so much, we don't want to be proven wrong.
Yeah, you don't want to punch
so
him
early.
Yeah.
They're still only reasonably young age, but still a fair bit of footy left potentially. I just don't reckon you want to invest so much in a player and then go, oh shit, actually he was all right. But then we go back to the point before, they never come good.
Exactly. I think there's a flip side to that argument where Fremantle, there's a lot of good vibes around Fremantle at the moment. Like everyone's feeling pretty good about what they're doing. Like, you know, even though they didn't make the finals, everyone's loving Justin Longmuir's work. The Hogan stuff, and to a degree the McCarthy stuff, this is the stuff that was kind of the leftovers from the previous era that was kind of just the dark clouds were there.
It doesn't take over the narrative like it once did, eh? So Jesse does that.
It doesn't.
It's not like that's the all of Fremantle story, which it was for so long.
Yeah, but then what?
No, but But I wonder if they're ready to move on from that completely and just go, okay, let's cut our losses here. You know, what if we can get nothing for Jesse and he's expired, are we better off just not having him? Can we pay him out?
I mean, the difference is that Bell brought him in. Like McCarthy was, you know, previous regimes, but Bell's still there. So there's probably that.
Yeah, but how much pressure was that based on? Was that based on Ross wanting to win and getting, you know, how much of that was that?
Don't know. Who's next, Ryan?
It's me. I'm going to go to Essendon.
Mm-hmm.
This Kevin Sheedy thing.
Yeah. What is it, 1990?
Is he just a, like, clearly he's a talking billboard. He's a distraction to calm the members from their irate state, as they probably deserve to be after that. How many days? It's going to hit 6,000 soon.
Yeah.
Is there any serious value on field to having Kevin Sheedy at all? Can you find 1% where he will add anything at all?
Not sure. Couldn't tell you what he's doing these days in terms of his footy knowledge and stuff. But if I was an Essendon supporter and Kevin Sheedy's returned, I'd be saying, not again. Like, this, we're recycling the same stuff over and over. And it's been 5,871 days since we've won a final, of which Kevin Sheedy was probably coach of.
But I
just think maybe it's just not.
I think he was.
Maybe he was the coach.
Maybe it's just not the right.
The right time to start with, but the right person as well. Find, someone with so much experience and success is fine to bring in, but maybe they need to get away from the old Essendon.
Well, that was one of Worsfold's criticisms. Yeah. You could tell he raised it a couple of times that it was old Essendon people attacking him all the time. It's like, just you don't need just old Essendon people to come in and fix things.
Well, if you truck Rutton, do you want him there?
No, absolutely not.
No, like if I'm truck Rutton, I'm going, Adrian Dodoro, you've been there forever. Sure, you're a good guy. Look at the list we've got. Sorry, you've got to go. Whoever's head of development, like you've got to, you'd want to bring in five new people and just go, if Essendon is shit in 3 years' time, that's on me. If Essendon is shit in three years' time, we're still the same recruitment, Kevin Sheedy, the same heads of development, you've got nothing to blame but yourself.
And look, there's nothing against Kevin Sheedy. We all know he's got a great career.
Oh, I was an Essendon fan.
Yeah, we all love him. But it's just, I don't know, to me it just sends the wrong message that this is like a Band-Aid to cover over all the bullshit that they've been putting everyone through the last decade or two.
All right, let's head to Saturday night's final, Collingwood v. West ago. So I've got Collingwood here. Last time they played, Nick Nat, to my surprise, beat Grundy and beat Grundy convincingly. Saturday night, you've got the choice of Grundy or Nick Nat to be your ruckman. Who are you choosing, Nick?
Nick Nat.
Rhino?
Same.
Nick Nat, yeah, same again. And I was really surprised by what I saw. How do Collingwood beat West Coast? I read something before. I think Adam Cooney said there's just too many injuries in West Coast, regardless whether they're fit or not. They're still underdone.
Said that about the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I know. And then they bought like Stringer, McRae, Libba, Roughhead, and Easton Wood and went bang.
Yeah.
By 40-odd, I think it was. How do they win?
I think that it sounds stupid when you've got an All-Australian ruckman from a couple of years in Brody Grundy, but I think that what we've seen teams do when they're successful against West Coast is just try to read what Nick Nat's going to do.
Yeah.
Like get on top of – because they can't have what happened last time. That was some of the best ruckman you'll ever see. Oh, it was so clinical. If they can figure out a way – to try to read what he's going to do when he's hitting to Kelly or hitting to Shuey or hitting to Gaff or whoever he's hitting to, that's probably their best go. I can't see a way where Collingwood wins. I know there's all the hype because it's Collingwood and it's a final, but I don't buy into the whole injury thing. I think if you're ready to play, you're ready to play. So, I think that's probably their best hope.
So is it make him earn it at the ruck and then Brody Grundy? At least Brody Grundy can players almost an extra minute time. So does it make him earn it?
He hasn't this year though, has he?
Yeah, I know, that's
maybe
the problem.
Is it the short quarters that we haven't seen it, but he hasn't
played
like a minute.
But do you say like that's your primary focus is doing that again and then just add a ruck on it?
I just think that for mine personally, they can't let – I think the difference in marks was 26 or 28 last time they played. They've just got to turn it into a messy shit show.
Yeah.
I know Pendrum is classy and they've got class everywhere. They need to be unclassy and just a mess.
Eagles scramble.
Hey, Josh, while we're going, can you check the weather for Saturday night? I want to know if it's raining.
All right, here we go. Where are we at? This is me. Yep. All right, let's go into GWS. Heath Shaw, not getting offered a deal. Does that seem a little off to anyone? He's approaching 35, but he played every game this year. Old head down back. Not even a rookie spot for someone who seems to someone who seems to have had an influence down there.
If Heath Shaw was 32,
he gets a deal
straight away.
Yeah,
but you go at 35. Eventually, you go righto. We've been ordinary this year. We've missed the finals. Is playing a 36-year-old the right thing to do over an 18 or 19 year old?
That's what's happened.
100%. That's what happened. Did you hear that he rang Reece Shaw or Reece Shaw?
Oh, did
he? And Reece was like, mate, did you watch yourself play last year? they're good fun, those two. They are really good fun.
What was the story last year where Reece Shaw asked Heath for his credit card detail? He said, I had to buy a cigarette gift for his wife and then sign him up for 2 North Melbourne memberships.
No, there's some good byplay between those two, but I'm not surprised by Heath Shaw.
But see, the thing that concerns me is nobody did it. If someone was going to push Heath Shaw out of that back line, why didn't they?
Hard to this year because you didn't see the 18 and 19-year-olds playing halfback.
Yeah, true.
And I think you've got Isaac Cumming, who was injured a lot of this year. They do really like him. And they've also got Lockie Ash, who did play a fair bit
this year.
So they have guys coming through.
Yeah.
I think this is sort of one step in the
Sammy Taylor's
direction
been out for
of,
a long
okay,
time too,
Sam
suppose.
Taylor returns.
Yeah, he'll replace the legendary Aiden Corr. and it just they need to start transitioning their list again, which is hard to believe because they didn't hit
them. Ben, can you imagine? I know there's not many of them, but a GWS fan who, and it's hard to say because they haven't been in the league long enough. So it's hard to say the passion of I've been a GWS supporter since I was zero.
Haven't you got two at your house?
I've got the little one who just sings big, big sound of the best. You can't say dad, but you can sing their theme song. you know what I mean? Like if you turn up to round one and they have made bugger all changes and Heath Shaw's at back pocket, I imagine if there was a lifelong GWS fan base who were really disgruntled by what happened last season, that'd be a little bit like, come on, there's something's got to give.
Yeah.
I would think. I think it's the right thing. And what a tremendous player Heath Shaw's been.
17, sunny, overcast on Saturday.
Thanks, Josh.
Okay. That'll suit West Coast. Okay, well, let's go to – we'll stick to that theme. Gold Coast, what can the Suns learn from GWS? These guys are always going to be linked. We've seen GWS rise and they're not quite reach the peaks and now slightly regress. What can Gold Coast learn with their sexy seven and all the excitement that GWS had 5 years ago?
Has it gone up to seven, wasn't it? Six? Who's the extra one? Woodrick.
Nah, 67. We got Bose, Lukosius, Rao, Anderson, Rankin.
King.
King and
Anderson. Did you say Anderson?
I think I said Anderson. There's another one. Keep going.
Well,
you guys go. I'll figure it out.
We'll count Butterick for now.
What do you learn? You learn that you don't bank on winning two premierships whilst you've got a good crop and then go, I'll deal with whatever happens after you've banked success, because we've seen with the Giants, they made a grand final but did not bank success. Now it looks like a shit show. So you don't prepare for everything life after winning a flag. You've actually got to take those smallest. But they went all in, GWS, all in. And I saw that Adkins has signed 5 years with Gold Coast.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that stuff's the right move. You still want to be able to move players around and, you know, chop them around. But when you've got Greenwood, Adkins, those sort of guys are reasonable players.
Yeah, they're the ones they needed to bring in.
They're not a 5 year.
Everyone else take the pressure off the kids.
Yeah, if they're playing in 5 years, have the kids come on? Maybe not. I just think that they need to not try and one big foul swoop to get to the premiership. You still, next year it's finishing. Yeah, around eight. And then it might be, you know, top six. And then they're still a few years away. I reckon they've just got to take the smaller steps rather than try and launch into it.
Yeah. Well, Lou, I'll probably agree with you there. I was just looking to see what draft pick they come in. So they're probably going to come in 1, 2, 3, about pick 5. Have they got their first pick this year?
They've probably got 3 of someone else's too.
Yeah.
They've got a concession, I think, as well.
Oh,
they've got a priority pick.
We've got a
thing as well.
Got to move it on to someone else. Is that one?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Me. All right, so Geelong played tonight. How good a game this will be. And I was looking at it in the past over the last 8 years or 10 years for Gaz and Selwood. You go Gaz and Selwood and Mitch Duncan to a degree.
Mm.
If how well will they play to drag this side over the line? Now I reckon it is, can you get enough out of Selwood, Gaz, and Mitch Duncan, who's gone off the boil a little bit last month, or, you know, he's had the hamstrings this season. What do you expect from Selwood and Ablett tonight? Do you put them in their usual positions? I know Gaz has been playing forward, but Joel, is Joel now maybe a defensive role or something like that? Because what they looked a little bit more threatening when the other two were out, and they were lifting the load for them, and maybe they're ready to roar. And I'd never ever be back against Joel and Gaz. They're absolute megastars. Mm. But it almost tonight, I feel, if they can be almost near very, very good, they win. If they don't, then they don't win. But it's not like they're carrying the Geelong Cats tonight.
Yeah.
I think it's now, in the past, they've been the meat and potatoes, and then the stuff on top, the gravy's been what you can get out of the other fringe guys.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of flipped now. It? Like, if Ablett and Selwood are the gravy, you know, but that's what it's got to be.
Oh,
you want Selwood to, Ablett to kick two or three. Like,
so, but do you think he can kick two or three?
Yeah, he can.
I think he can set up, set up three goals.
Yeah, you want like six, seven inside 50s.
He's quite clever.
Yeah, and Gaz's last year, you reckon? Or is he going to
I think he called it. He called it at the start of the year, I think. Yeah, said this is my last year.
Did he?
I think we just lost it in everything that happened.
Are we sure he called it?
I think he didn't. He publish it on his
I don't think
site?
There's a firm decision.
I don't think
really?
He's called it.
I thought he called it on his website.
Oh,
nah, it's not a call.
Does it really matter though? Because we're all living in a simulation,
and Litherans of 38. Oh, there you go.
Back to me. Where are we going? Oh, Carlton, Zach Williams. So on the loose ballers earlier this week, you sounded half convinced. X, have you come around? Has Dylan Buckley turned you around on Zach Williams?
No, hasn't turned me around. So, Rhino, Dylan Buckley was saying that Zach Williams is in the exact category of a Kelly and Cornelio. Yes, and that sort of surprised me, but did not back down, did he?
No.
Did not move from that. And he was saying, wait, he's what, you know, what Carlton need. Da 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 da. Hasn't swung me yet, no. And if it does, if he does play well, then you go, well, the proof, yeah, I was told 1,000 times.
Yeah.
To my eye, I haven't seen it consistently at that level. So am I giving up a shitload to get it? Maybe not.
Yeah, I wonder what's going on there too, because Carlton, like, so he's signing for, I can't remember the term.
Five?
Maybe five.
And then that's the term we just say when good players are moving.
Five. And then you got Paddy Cripps, who's, like, there was some noise around earlier this week, so he's a free agent at the end of next year. He's not ready to commit to an extension until he knows what all the salary cap and everything looks like beyond that.
Yeah, that's fair.
So if you're bringing in a bloke like that on 5 years, let's say it's a bust in year one and he's taken up like a decent chunk of the cap.
I don't think it'll
stretch.
Be a bust because he looks like a trier.
Yeah.
You know when you got those blokes, you go, he doesn't even look like he's trying. But I reckon Zach Williams looks like a trier.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the tattoos, but he looks like he's having a dig.
He's down in there in the dirty stuff.
Colin, and this is probably one for you, Rhino. You might know a little bit more than us two. Carlton, salary cap. How much has been chewed up by Curno, McGovern, Harry Mackay, Eddie? Like, how much is chewed up in that average forward line?
I think Colonel, I'm not sure Mackay's had like his payday one.
But I don't think, does he deserve a payday one?
No, that's the thing. He hasn't had a year that gets him a payday.
He's going to ask for one.
Yeah, I think they've been lucky because of circumstance. Mackay hasn't had his payday yet. Betts is not on as big a money as he would have been in the past.
Well, the other two then.
Yeah, it'd be stretched.
Well, Colonel's interesting because he hasn't played.
No.
We'll park this one. Can't bring him back around on it. Rhino.
Okay. I'm going to go with Richmond. If the Tigers win another flag this season, rank these players for me, or just tell me who you think is the best, or maybe the best one or two. Dustin Martin, Nat Fyfe, Gary Ablett Jr., Patrick Dangerfield, and Chris Judd. Assuming Richmond win another flag.
Dusty Fyfe, Dangerfield, Judd.
Ablett Jr. and Judd.
Well, you want to rank them?
Yep.
Which probably... Is it Judd Ablett or Ablett Judd? Ablett Judd. Ablett Judd.
Dusty, Ablett Judd.
Fyfe.
Dusty.
So this comes back to the, is it like achievements? Is it ability? Yeah. Is it everything? So it goes Ablett Judd. Yeah, then I'd probably have Dusty ahead of Fyfe, Dusty Danger.
Yeah, I think Danger's off them. I don't know why. I've been arguing between megastars.
Yeah.
Fyfe, I just have a thing for Fyfe.
Yeah. Yep.
And the other two are Daylight for mine.
Yeah.
Skinny Judd especially.
Danger.
So the question is where Dustin Martin sits, I guess.
Danger's only got one brown.
Danger's got one.
Yeah, okay.
5-2.
Well, there are two tips. You over when Danger hasn't gotten to a – hasn't been near a grand final yet.
No.
Yeah.
No. Nah. Well, you're supposed to
when you're talking about – so Dusty, let's say this is a flag that they win. He'll have three flags, two Norm Smiths, a Brownlow. Does he approach the Ablett Judd category or not yet? And is he past Fife if he wins another flag?
Oh, yeah, he'd probably shoot. Oh, he'd probably shoot past Fife. Yeah, I'd have him ahead of Fife. But the thing about Dusty, it's like the, I don't know if it's not like sustained over the whole journey. You can be like, he was just like, couldn't get near him like some of the other guys you'd think in that respect. But then it was like, you know, comes to September and he just killed people.
Yeah. He's a different player, isn't he?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. You definitely like, he's one of the first ones that you'll remember.
Yeah.
And he's in the five, but I don't know if he's at the top. Yeah. But if he gets three flags, then yeah.
Right. For me, Sydney, in any world, is Buddy Franklin movable?
If he agrees to it.
Is there any way that Buddy Franklin's movable? Yeah. And there's whispers about Jeremy Cameron. There's whispers about Jeremy Cameron, Sydney. There was talk, I was listening to the sounding board, and they were saying that one of the the only ever contract that is – unmovable, like in terms of what is on the paper is what needs to be paid.
And that's Buddy's?
That's Buddy's. Only one ever.
Is
there an appeal for a club, even though he hasn't played, and is Jeremy Cameron to Sydney a thing that you'd be thinking was a good idea?
Well, yeah.
Jeremy Cameron's not free. He's a million-dollar player.
But they'll have that. Yeah, but apart from the Bud contract, like who are they paying?
But would you pay Jeremy Cameron a million?
Yeah, good forwards.
Yeah, okay.
Hen's teeth, all that
Righto. Bud, in the world of Buddy Franklin.
You'd just go and get him, wouldn't you? Just for...
But can you see, I don't know who, but like maybe...
Brisbane?
Well, not. Yeah, but that's chewing into your salary cap when you're successful. Maybe like a...
The only answer is a club that needs... a big ticket to sell tickets.
Like Gold Coast?
Probably Gold Coast or North Melbourne. There's no other club that would do that based on we need him to help us win games because we can't get him on the park anymore and you're going to pay a premium cost. So you need a team with a low salary cap and you need a team that needs to sell tickets and you need a team that doesn't necessarily need to win a flag tomorrow.
It's so kind of like
– you need to find that little perfect little – diagram there, and it's probably Gold Coast, but I don't like the move for them either.
Yeah.
So really, I don't think it happens. I think they're stuck with him. I'd love Cameron to get to Sydney, but like you, I think you're hinting, X, with him, Buddy already there. I'm not sure it's going to work.
How do you get him financially? And you got $2.5 million of forwards. That doesn't work. But
well, I wonder what Buddy's actual dollars are for the next couple of years, like at the back end.
It was back ended.
Yeah, that's right.
Because maybe they were good.
Yeah, true.
And Tippett was on the books.
Like a Chris Paul kind of thing. Like he's not, if he's fit, he can help you do everything. But it's like the ones in the window aren't going for him really anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Bud's an interesting one. I think we're just missing him. I'm just missing Bud.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I want to see him. I want him back in the limelight. I want him out of Sydney.
Yeah,
I want more Franklin.
Imagine how good he'd be with the sexy seven. Far
out. Well, the eight. The Orgy 8 or something, I don't know.
All right, I'll go St Kilda. So this is one I faced yesterday. So we had a wrap, a special finals wrap, and needed like a notable player from each team.
Yeah.
Who's St Kilda's marquee player? Like, and keep in mind, this was for like a wide, big market.
Are you trying to insult me?
Well, who do you
think? You're trying to insult me.
Yeah, okay. Who?
It's Dan Butler, mate. Dan Butler's it.
Dan Butler.
Good looking, should have been All-Australian, premiership player.
What I say, like...
No, absolutely not.
Yeah,
no.
Is there anyone there who you could put their face in? We end up going with Bradley Hill because it's WA audience.
They're hoping it's Max King.
Max King's the one, isn't it?
Max.
There was not one person where I'm like, well, apart from Brad Hill because he was over here.
No, there's not.
You could put his picture there with no caption and be like, people don't know who that is.
Brad Hill, and even then I reckon a lot of people would go, Brad Hill was still at Fremantle. I think King was at a big club, if Clark was at a big club.
Yeah, you'd start to get some.
Jack Steele. I probably would have gone Jack Steele.
I thought Jack Steele, but no one would know his face.
No, he just had his face. Well, he's hot, though.
He's hot. Yeah,
jeez,
that's
he's sexy. He looks a bit like me.
He's got this extremely handsome, very good player. Why is Jack Steele not more marketable?
Well, that's what I wonder when that's gonna tick over, because he plays for St Kilda, probably.
He's everything you want to be marketable. Tough.
Yep.
Sexy.
Yep.
Good.
Midfield. Good. All Australian in the finals.
Number in the single digits.
Number nine.
Number nine, yeah.
Oh, Fraser Gehrig like.
Yeah, he should be right up there.
He should be.
Yeah. Maybe we should start a campaign.
Jack Steele.
Sexy Steele.
And he's got a great name.
Sexy Steele.
You know, Man of Steel.
Give me Steel. Like,
Blue
Steel.
There's a calendar there waiting. There's a calendar waiting to be shot.
There is, 100%.
We always end up early on, like St Kilda, North Melbourne.
It's always
sorry, everybody.
Okay, going to Brisbane.
Yeah.
So I have liked what's been coming out of there this week. A lot of talk about, you know, we had a list of teams we hadn't beaten in such a long time. We've gone through and ticked them off. Richmond's the last one. I loved Fagan saying when he was asked about them having an aura, he said, they're not supernatural. They're just human beings like us. But my only concern with Brisbane, I love that, as I said, I love all the messaging that's been coming out of there. There's a lot of hype here in Queensland about Brisbane beating Richmond this week, I can tell you that. But my concern with them is it all just lining up too easily for them? The whole grand final at the Gabba, the whole state's behind them. Simon Black's carrying the cup around Queensland. Mm. They've got, you know, this clean run. Is it just getting a little bit too easy?
It'd be funny if they go in straight sets.
Yeah,
that'll be hilarious.
Exactly.
Then all of a sudden, Gold Coast are like the kings of Queensland. It is coming too easily for them, and I know how they're ticking off all these boxes, but they haven't beaten Richmond for, is it 15 years or 15 games or whatever it is?
I think it's 15 or 16 games in a row.
No, it might be north of that. I reckon Dusty and Cochin have played them 15 and 16 times. Mm. So I reckon it's even a little bit north of that, but once you do that to a team, we used to do it to Melbourne and Carlton. Just used to beat them religiously. And in the end, you just didn't even expect any other result. You turn up, and don't get me wrong, Brisbane sitting higher on the ladder than Richmond. So they're a very good team where the other two we used to whack weren't. But it's just something that you get in you that you know you've seen this before. I don't know. It's like you've seen the movie before.
The bunnies.
Yeah, they're a little bit bunnies. Yeah, like Glenn McGrath used to call out someone at the start of a test series. Yeah. You know, he'd still call out a good batsman, but he'd make him his bunny. It's like the Brisbane are Richmond's bunnies. It's simple.
Side note on Brisbane, I thought like the AFL got a real reminder of where they sit in Queensland this week when it's like, we've got round one of the finals here. It's a big build-up, and the Broncos are like, we've hired Kevin Walsh as a coach. They're not getting near a back page for the next 4 days.
Port Adelaide. So Port play tonight, finishing right at on top of the ladder. Do they get to have a home prelim if they win?
I believe so.
Yeah,
it was just WA they couldn't do it.
Right, okay. And do you believe, and it's a little bit of a West Coast one, do you believe West Coast should have got a home final? I know they've essentially got a home final, but it's really been a pain in the ass to have Collingwood in the state. Yeah. Adelaide has been so smooth, but do you reckon that is like we spoke about Brisbane getting the easy pass all the way through and it's all come together too easily. Just quietly, Port Adelaide have had it easy this year as well, and it's come together for them perfectly.
Mm. Yeah, but people don't. I don't know why they're never in the conversation. Nah. And it's always like.
Well, I'm a little bit exactly the same. I don't put them in the, they'll win the premiership area, but they're on top of the ladder.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, you're right. They're on top of the ladder. They can potentially have two home finals at home. No one else, I mean, even Brisbane, because everyone's been in Queensland, they're getting acclimatised, they've been playing games at the Gabba every week.
Yeah.
So it's not like Queensland is foreign anymore to any of these visiting teams. Adelaide kind of still is. So you've got probably the best home advantage leading up to that grand final. And they haven't been off the top of the ladder all year. I'm the same. I've never fully invested in Port. Yeah. I don't know why. I actually expect Geelong to win tonight. I know this is probably going to be out by the time that's already happened, so I'll probably be proven wrong. But I just haven't believed. And I'm sorry to Port Adelaide supporters. I hope they convince me otherwise because I love Zach Butters. But I love him.
I
have not been convinced.
That's the best part. Like those kids who look like you just waited for them to play finals and now it's coming in the second year.
You got to pick one of the three. Dersma, Rosie or Butters.
Like long-term investment or like this weekend?
No, long term.
Give me Butters.
Butters is just nose to Rosie. Yeah.
Oh, mate. What Butters did against North Melbourne, his lunatic behaviour just sold me. Yeah. Oh.
I'm a piece of toast. Spread that butter all over me.
Oh, righto, Tool.
Is this me? on North Melbourne, how do you think the Rawlings family Christmas dinner is going to go?
So Brady sacked
Brady Jade. Rawlings, yeah, sacked his brother who had 2 years remaining on his assistant coach's contract.
Pretty good because he's just pocketed a couple hundred thousand.
Well, that's
cash.
The thing. And this is like points to what's going on around the league at the moment. There's going to be assistant coaches punted everywhere because the AFL have said you make people redundant this year, it won't count
as next year.
Next year's salary, soft salary cap, which it normally does.
Yeah.
So they're just going to be, if they're on the fence about anyone with 2 years or 1 year.
Yeah, gone.
They're gone.
So I was talking to someone the other day who's in the coaching world and I was like, oh, you're going to be okay. And he's like, it's funny, I will be okay, but clubs are going to be hiring as well.
Yeah.
Because in this next period of time, you need to nail, if you're unsure about anything, move them on, and then you're bringing someone new in to replace. Mm. If you're taking two, you got to replace with one sort of situation. That they reckon that jobs, as much as you think that they're not there, they're actually going to be there because anyone that's been there too long, you know, a bit of dead wood, he's been at the club for 5 years, 10 years, whatever, cat ya, you're out. Here's your little payment, and you're just wiping your hands clean.
It's a quality over quantity thing. You're right. Like, so if you need to make that change, you got to make it now. There's less chairs on the Titanic, but there's still some chairs. People are still going to be in these chairs.
Yeah.
So, you're right. Like, and if you are good at your job and people know that, now's your chance. Like, make your move now and get in before it gets ugly.
And also, you're moving on from, for example, who finished at the bottom of the ladder? North Melbourne are sacking coaches. Adelaide are moving coaches. The top teams have got to move coaches as well. So the top team coaches, you'd assume, are better than the shittest of the shit coaches. Do you know what I mean? So, like, the good ones who lose their job are potentially going to
fall down the ladder.
Just fall down the ladder refraction, I suppose.
Well, we just saw Van Berlo go from West Coast back to Adelaide. It's starting to happen. Yeah, it's starting to happen. We got time left. There you go. Blow the siren.
Is it me?
It's you.
It's me? Last one.
West Coast. So something I'm putting together for the paper on Saturday, I've been looking at West Coast and their history. Obviously, they've got a very successful history, sustained periods of success.
Incredible.
Very little time spent down the bottom of the ladder. And I was thinking about if they had a Mount Rushmore, like who are the four guys that belong on that? And I don't – surprisingly to me, I actually don't think any players belong on the West Coast Mount Rushmore. I think you've got Trevor Nisbet. I think you've got Malthouse. I think you've got Worsfold, who, was a player but also a coach, so it's kind of a hybrid. And I'm starting to think, and this is the whole point of the column, maybe Adam Simpson is already on that Mount Rushmore. There's an argument for a few other people.
So figures, like club figures.
No, including players, though.
Could be anything. It's including players, most influential in that period. They've been around 30-odd years. They've had a lot of success.
I don't know about influential, but when I moved over in the sort of late 90s, Peter Matera was the only name on everybody's lips.
Yeah.
So I think he's still, like, you know, he's the one that people wanted to watch through the 90s. Very good team, but he was the cream.
He's definitely in the argument for their best player, but does he stand that far ahead of the Jakoviches and the Coxes and the Judds?
I'd say Dean Cox probably is above all of them. I don't know, maybe the records game holder, so that's a tick in terms of being in like the Hall of Fame as such. Successful period, revolutionised the game in the way he played. I don't know, maybe Cox.
Maybe. If you go, if the influence on the club counts the negatives as well, there's one name which sticks out above the rest.
Who's that?
Positives and negatives. It's Ben.
Oh, Big Ben, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, Juddy had stayed.
Malthouse, Worsfold and Nisbet picked themselves as the three.
Yeah.
The question is Adam Simpson the fourth guy over those other players?
I'd say
I'm
no.
I'm starting to think he is.
I'd say not quite.
No?
No.
One more flag.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Hold fire.
The Mighty Hawks. Yep. Jack Gunston, I think, must have won the best and fairest last night. He put up a photo of himself in it with a medal on, but in board shorts. I was like, well, that's a different way to the Peter Crimmins medal. But they've got to make moves. They have to make trades. They have to, offload some players. And Gunston's in their gun.
Yeah, Collingwood knocking on the door.
What are you getting for Jack Gunston? And do you think they might have manipulated the best and fairest votes to go, you're taking our best and fairest winner off us. Yeah. That is at least a first-round draft pick.
I still think, like, even without that, you'd ask for a first.
First, yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon probably a first because he takes him to the next level. You probably go, we're going 3 years maybe, but are we going to win a flag in the next 3 years?
Yeah.
And maybe let's try and
if a club's in the window – at the moment, I'd pay a first for Jack Gunston.
A little bit like Brian Lake at the Hawks.
Yeah.
Where
not
Brian
like,
Lake
not
was
top
never,
10, but.
No, it was never going to be around forever. All right, Tom Mitchell, do you consider moving him? And what for?
No.
No?
No.
Yeah, I don't.
He's been there, three years?
Yeah, three.
Got a Brownlow and a best of fairest.
Brownlow, broken leg, year out.
Runner-up in the BNF.
Okay, so then what about Liam Shields?
Yeah, is there a mark?
I think
Yeah, is there another market? Yeah, I reckon there would be. There would be at a
a Gold Coast.
Yeah, well, if Adkins is getting five.
Yeah.
Liam Shields has got to get three.
Yeah.
Pup's a bit older. Last one, Mitchell Lewis. We had a fair bit of a buzz about him 2 years ago.
Was he injured this year or did he?
He came in, he was out, he was dropped, he was rolled his ankle, I think, a couple of times. Mm. Where is he gone? And are we still putting our eggs in that basket? Because it was so impressive 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then this year it was like, ugh.
Yeah.
I put it this way. I reckon if they somehow get Logan McDonald in the draft, I reckon you can pretty much write Mitchell Lewis's ticket as like, that's it. Because McDonald will go past him in 5 minutes.
You're big on him, aren't you?
Yeah.
Can play.
Yeah. Yep.
Tim English. Western Bulldogs St Kilda this week.
Yeah.
So this is about, I think this is about the 100,000th mention of Tim English on this podcast this year. But what are you expecting from him against Rowan Marshall, Paddy Ryder? Like, is that, I think this is a line ball game and that's one, I don't know what to expect.
He somehow is the barometer of that footy club, Tim English. When he's bad, he's awful, god awful. When he's good, it's like, this is the next Dean Cox. The comparisons are so wide between this young lad. I worry not so much what Paddy Ryder will do. I worry what Marshall might do to him.
Well, Paddy Ryder's just the one who gives the trot, like, he's bad enough when
and played Ryder's, well against Nick Nat, for example, a few weeks ago and that sort of stuff. But if you gave me who do I want Rowan Marshall out of those three.
Yep.
I think.
I'd still take English. Maybe not for a game right now.
I'm talking this weekend.
Yeah, right. Well, I think the problem is for English is, like you say, he's going to come up against Marshall, who's this sort of bash and crash physical type. And then when he's getting tired from all that, he's going to come up against Ryder, who's a fantastic tap ruckman.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
Like, so there's no rest for Tim English here. Like,
no.
It's where he'll kill them. I mean, Marshall's good around the ground, but English is probably the best around the ground ruckman other than Grundy.
But is he?
Like, he moves pretty well for a big fella.
Every 3 weeks he's the best. You're right. And he, as I said, he's best. He's like the next Dan Cox.
Yeah.
His worst is like, ooh, get off him.
Yeah.
He walked past me the other day. It was a dog scratch match, and he walked past me. He is a gigantic human being.
Does he look like a llama?
His arms. He does look a bit like a llama.
Yeah.
He looks like remember in Men in Black where they'd have those people who like look like half aliens, half humans? He kind of looks like that. His limbs are so long. His arms almost touch the ground. It was ridiculous.
And for the record, I wouldn't give Tim English up for the number one draft pick.
Yeah, no, still hold him. But I wonder if this is the conversation we're going to have with him his whole career. It's like,
oh, he's still young.
Yeah. What is he now?
He's going to click. He's going to click.
I reckon he'd be 21, wouldn't he? 22?
Let's check it out.
Tim. If I could bet on him being all Australian within 3 years, I'd put as much as I could afford on it.
Yeah, you would 100%. He's 23.
He's 23. Yeah.
Yeah. Just turned 23 too. Just not a hair on it yet. He's still only young.
Yeah.
They take a while.
3, 2, 1. Just before you go, guys, new segment this week brought to you by Mazda. This is the Mazda BT50 Inside 50. So basically 50 seconds, throw your mate under the bus, throw each other under the bus. On one topic you think we should probably chuck another 50 seconds on. I'm going to do this one this week. You guys can handle the rest. But West Coast Mount Rushmore, bit of contention over that fourth spot. Go at it now, starting with you, Nick. Go.
All right. So you were saying Simpson you think is the fourth.
I think he's right there. I think it's a. I think that's the spot. I mean, it's pretty obvious that for me, Nisbet, Malthouse, Worsfall take the first three spots.
Yeah, I think that's right.
To thinking about this because I was looking at a team like Essendon where you're like, it's Sheedy, Hurd, Lloyd. You can't, you know, the fourth person, maybe it's another administrator, who knows.
Well, John but Coleman for me, I just someone, thought. Yeah, you missed it. You know, Sheedy, Hurd, Lloyd's taken out a fair bit of their history, though. That's only like the one block. Whether Tim Watson through the 80s.
I'm talking 30 years. I'm talking about 30 years.
Okay.
AFL era.
Okay, yeah. AFL era. Yeah, righto. Okay, so the first three, yeah, they're locks. Simpson, I reckon, is one more flag. I'm still thinking Matera in terms of when you think about the club, you think about Matera.
Yeah, I think if you're talking about who's their best player. Is that 50 seconds? Far quick. Out? That 50 quick.
Seconds, guys. You really there smashed it. Finish it off, Ryan, though. What were we going to say?
He's clearly, for me, been their best player in terms of their history. There's a lot of good players. But for me, I'm not sure he stands that far above the rest of those players to not include him. I would put Simpson on that list. He's had an incredible run since he's gotten there. He's led him to two grand finals. He's won a flag. I can't see him not being there for at least the next 5 years, which will take him past Malthouse and Worsfold in terms of games coach. So you read about it in the West on Saturday. I'll try to convince you.
Yeah, we'll do that. Thank you, Rhino. Thank you, X. This has been the Hardball Gets AFL show with thanks to Mazda. It's the complete package inside and out. Drive the brand new Mazda BT50 at your Mazda dealer. We'll see you next time.